Hello and welcome to the Pod2Pod podcast, where we explore the new services, technologies, and advice that will help podcast producers and consumers. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Matthew Passy. On this episode, we are checking with Mark Stedman. He's the founder and creator of Podient. That's a fascinating new web hosting solution that he came up with all to solve his own problem. It's beautiful, it's simple, it's easy, and right now, it is free. Go ahead and check out Podient.co. That's Podient.co. I think you're going to find that he has created some really, really nice podcast hosting and some great publishing features to make podcasting that much easier. You can focus on just creating your show, getting it up there, and not worrying about having to, like, you know, learn how to build and you know, create websites as well. His does a really great job of doing it simply for you. Before we hit that content, though, remember to check out pod2pod.com. It's your go-to resource for all things podcasting. There you can sign up for our weekly newsletter, check out the latest headlines, browse our directory of podcast services, surf our calendar of podcasting events, join our brand new podcasting Slack group, and so much more. It's all available at pod2pod.com. Here we go with Mark Stedman of Podient. Very excited to be chatting with Mark Stedman, founder and creator of Podient. You can find it at podient.co. And this is a brand new form of podcast hosting that Mark just decided to create all on his own. He didn't really like some of the solutions that were out there. He has experience as a developer, and he's put together some hosting that really, it looks very smooth, looks really clean, very nice. And he's also very focused on how your final product is going to present itself on the web. And so we'll get Mark, you know, we'll let Mark talk about all that good jazz. I've started to sign up for it, but I haven't gotten to that point where I can really see the final result. So Mark, thank you so much for coming here on Pod to Pod today.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
So really, what was it, first of all? I mean, you've got, especially here in the States, I mean, we have huge podcast hosting companies, the Libsyns, the Blueberries, you know, all these ones that we hear about constantly. What made you want to go out there and create your own?
Very good question. It started when, I've got a very small podcast, which I was trying to get a little bit of press for last year, because it was it's a show that I do twice a week, and it's only 3 minutes long, and it's all good news stories. And in the wake of a lot of decisions that were made last year in the world that might not have been to everyone's taste, I thought it might be nice to do a full week of it. And so I tried to get a bit of press involved, and the host that I was using at the time was having problems with just periodically I'd upload episodes and then find that they hadn't uploaded, and I'd have to get in touch with the support people, who were lovely, really nice, but you know. And having built stuff like this before, I used to run a podcasting network, and I built all of that myself before, I thought, you know what, I'm gonna give this a go and see, you know, if I can get something working that just satisfies me. And then if I get to the stage where I think it might actually work for other people, then yeah, I'll open it out. And as I started to build more and more on top of it, I started to think, actually, yes, this could be something that other people might want to use.
So you were pretty selfish and wanted your own hosting and didn't want to have to deal with anybody else.
Scratching my own itch.
That's all. I mean, most good entrepreneurs, most good startups begin that way. People who are solving a problem that, you know, typically impacts them, and then they find, you know, there are other people who could use that service. But so one of the things that I kind of noticed as I was poking around the site after creating my, you know, my account and seeing that right now, I mean, right now it's free hosting. I mean, he'd appreciate it if you support the platform, help him out, build this out, but it's free right now. That you're really focused on, you know, how this gets delivered. Now, obviously, RSS feed goes to iTunes, Google, all those different places, but you really want to help podcasters create a beautiful website. And so you, like, that was a big focus of yours.
Absolutely. So you mentioned the likes of Libsyn and Blueberry, and the experience that I've had with a lot of those is they're, you know, super robust systems, and, you know, they've been going for a long time. They know exactly what they're doing. But I felt like a lot of the aesthetic was kind of rooted in design ideas from back when podcasting first happened, which is, you know, now what, 14, 15 years ago. And that's not me being super snarky, it's me being a little bit snarky, but I think a common theme with a lot of those systems is that they just don't quite feel like you're creating something that, that works for the modern era. Because podcasting's always been, and I think it, it still is to a degree, one of those that, that sort of technical-minded people tend to get into more than other things, because it's still not super easy to subscribe to podcasts, and that's a whole other conversation, I think.
Yes.
But I think because it's still got that kind of ham radio aesthetic, that kind of spit and sawdust, get out and do it yourself kind of aesthetic, then I think a lot of the shine is sort of not there. And as I say that, I realize, you know, it's, it sounds like I'm trying to make something that's all form and no function, and that's completely not what I'm trying to do. But I do want to start with, if I'm going to be using something multiple times a week to upload, you know, I'm not only managing my own podcast, but I manage other podcasts for other people. And if I'm going to be sat on a platform for a while, I want it to be, I want it to feel comfortable. I want to know where everything is. I want it to feel as easy as possible and be robust and be scalable, and all of those things. And so that's sort of where I started with wanting to just have a really clean UI from the perspective of those who are going to be subscribing to the podcast. So they've got a really easy way to be able to know, okay, well, here's the latest episode, just looking at what's important. Here's the latest episode. And then right below that is a quick description of the podcast and all of the links that you need to subscribe. So if you fill those in, you know, you've got your podcast, podcatchers, Stitcher and Pocket Cast and Overcast and all those different apps. So you go straight away, you know how to subscribe. And that was the idea, is just start making this stuff open to as many people as possible, those who want to subscribe and those who want to actually create.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, like I said, the platform looks beautiful. I mean, your websites at bloomsbury.digital are also very smooth, very clean. And I imagine that these are, so is bloomsbury.digital, is that the, like, the result of your Podient account, or where would we look for, you know, what the final product looks like from there?
Okay, so a good example is the podcast that I do, which, or one of them, which is the Mood Elevator, and you'll find that at moodelevator.org. And that is a podcast, that's a site that's powered by Podient. So at the moment, there is a sort of a simple template that we work to. I'm hoping that we're going to have more templates as we go, but you sort of got a nice big header image, a menu, and then on the right-hand side, you've got a sort of floating sidebar that gives you the podcast artwork, so you know exactly where you've gone to, so that should match up with what you get in your podcast app. And then all the links to subscribe. Stunning. And thank you. And then on the left-hand side, you've got, as I said, the first episode. So you can jump straight into the content, and then below that, a bit about the podcast and related episodes and stuff.
I mean, this is exactly what you want for someone who, you know, a lot of people say, like, I want to do a podcast, and then they start doing it and they realize how much work it is. It's building a site, it's marketing it, it's producing it, and it's so many different things. And all of a sudden, everybody becomes an amateur web developer. And just, I mean, looking at this site, this is what I think most podcasters who just want a podcast want their site to look like. They want it to be stunning, capturing. They want their most recent episode right up there at the top so that somebody who lands there can click play, jump right into it. Below it, you have this beautiful grid of the previous episodes that you click to, and, you know, it takes you to another page that is, again, simple, easy, has the show notes ready to go. Right hand side, like you said, show notes, very, very obvious links for finding the, you know, podcast in other places. Adorable picture of you and what looks to be your cat right there.
That's one of them. Yep.
And it's just, it looks clean. And I think this is what so many first time and honestly even some veteran podcasters are looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of the thing I have to be aware of, because I try to be a nice person, and so I'm aware
that's not gonna get you anywhere.
No, it's not. I know exactly. And so it's just time to be honest. A lot of fantastic podcasts that I listen to have dreadful websites, and I wrote that on the Medium post that I put up, and it's because they're concentrating on making the show. So if someone else can take some of that load off, then great. I mean, the player is something that I've spent a long time on and still spend time on, getting that to look and feel right and to work well on mobile. You know, that's something I'm always working on. The thing, you caught me as I was in the middle of breaking the third-party integration system. So the next thing that I'm doing is basically building out a system where third parties can, very simple example, when you finish publishing an episode, it adds it to your Twitter account and your Facebook, and then
and I saw your Buffer account.
Yes, exactly.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, and that's my primary one, because often I publish an episode of The Mood Elevator at about 10 or 11 at night, but I don't want it to go out until the next morning, and then Buffer can say, okay, well, I've got it now, and I'll tweet it out and Facebook it at an appropriate time. So that's the bit I'm just working on now. And then as we extend forward with the idea of third-party sort of extensions, that one of the things I built for my old podcasting network, which I'd love to bring back, is publishing a podcast via Dropbox. So all you've got to do is take the MP3, put it in your specific Dropbox folder, and the site will read all of the ID3 tags and all the artwork, and you will just have a published podcast episode straight away without having to do anything else. And I've proved that concept before, it works. And so that's something I'd like to bring back to this platform. Cause I think, if you're on the road and you just want to get content out, like if you're at CES or at some other big conference and you just want to make a quick podcast, just stick it in a Dropbox folder and that's it.
I believe what I just heard is a collective sound of jaws dropping all over the world. That would be incredible. I mean, if it could really work as easily as you say, where you finish editing your podcast and audition, you add your ID3 tags, you hit save, put it in the folder, and the next thing you know, you're published. That would be fantastic. That would be a huge time saver for everybody.
Yeah, I used to do a show where I would just walk around my flat with a headset on and do other things. I'd be distracted by other stuff and just be talking. And I thought it would be really nice to go from the app that I was using, which the audio recording, I think it was Boss Jock I was using on the iPhone, and hit save and send to Dropbox, and for it to just publish straight away without me having to take the file, upload it somewhere, then go into Audition, edit it down, upload it, and you know, do all that process. I thought, well, if I attach artwork in Boss Jock, it adds that to the ID3 tag. So here, you know, this is a system that could work, and I built it, and it was just for myself at the time. And so I'm hoping that I can port that over, and I think that could be huge. I mean, another one, I won't keep doing this, but another idea is one of the things that I want to do is, and I don't know how much people are interested in this, but creating a podcast via a phone call, so you could just ring
a telephone
specific
line.
Mobile number, yeah, and if you just want to do a quick interview or a quick phone call, or you know, just an audio blog, basically, all you've got to do is ring this phone number, type in a PIN, and it'll take that audio and upload it. That's a bit of a pipe dream.
I mean, I like the concept. I like the convenience of doing that. I think somebody tried doing that a few years ago when I was at the Wall Street Journal. We got approached to have that for like reporters, and it didn't take off. I mean, the only problem there is that phone quality is just not what we want it to be.
Exactly. It's never going to be great.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to discourage anybody listening to this to even, well, if Mark accomplishes that, check it out, because he designs really cool things, and I think it would work really well. But, you know, if you can avoid doing podcasts over phone lines, your content's going to sound 100 times better.
Oh, so much better, yeah.
So here's the question that I don't, you know, I'm sort of, I don't want to ruin the party. Like, here's the thing. I want everybody to sign up for this because, again, it's a really nice platform. It looks really cool. I think it's going to be a great solution for so many podcasters who looked at all those, you know, traditional solutions that are out there. And I like the fact that it's free, but I mean, you can't sustain it for free. So what's your plan for monetization, and like, where can people, you know, expect that price point to come in? Right now, you know, help Mark would be great of you, but you know, what is it going to be required down the road?
Sure. Okay. So the model is relying on the milk of human kindness, to a degree. So the idea is this. I mean, I'm not setting myself up to compete with the likes of Libsyn or Blueberry. But what I hope is that those that want to use the platform, those that want to get started and just start a podcast, can absolutely get on there for free, and there's no catch. There's no limits. And you'll get support articles, and so if you get stuck, you'll have things that you can read. But if you want to pay a bit extra, then you know, and if you have questions, or if you want to really feed back into the system and say, well, look, this should be the next feature that you work on, then, you know, from $5 is the basic level, and you'll get a little bit of support, and then sort of $15 gets you more, and as you go up those support levels, you get access to more and more things, so more immediacy, basically. And so the idea, the sort of business case for it, the sort of cynical business case, is because of the way cloud hosting works, is you don't pay a huge amount for storage. So it does not cost me a huge amount to store What costs money is every time someone downloads an episode. That's where the bills start to rack up. Doesn't cost that much to upload, doesn't cost that much to store.
So you'd be in trouble if like NPR started using your service right now.
Exactly, but my working theory, and this is where we will see how this model gets proven. The working theory is that those that actually get success will want to either give a little back to say thank you, or more selfishly, will just want to be able to get support and get help growing the platform, and just get support issues, or even have a third party service that they want to integrate, that kind of thing. There will be other third party services. So for example, the Dropbox integration, that will almost certainly be a paid add-on. Twitter and Facebook and stuff, that'll be free. But things like that will be a paid add-on. I'm hoping I may do deals with the likes of Orphonic. So if you want to put your audio through a processor, you can do that directly through Podient. That would be, there'd be fees involved in that. And so those sort of third party integrations, those extra add-ons with other services would be whether the other charges come in, but there are basic levels, so you can go on for free for no limits and no support if you like. $5 is basically you don't get anything back, but it's a way to say thank you. You can pay $15 a month and then you get more support, and it goes up a little bit from there. And so that's the idea.
Well, I think anybody who's looking at podcasting right now who hasn't, who's not sure about how committed they're going to be to this, who's not sure whether or not it's going to be right for them, who's just sort of playing around, and or anybody who just wants to do it easily, I would seriously recommend you go over to podient.co. That's podient.co. Check out the hosting that Mark Stedman here has created, because I think you're going to find it super easy to use. The websites that it produces are great. Make sure you go to moodelevator.org to get an example of what that turns into when you're done uploading podcasts with them. And go ahead and give them the $5. It's totally going to be worth it. Because you're going to get such an amazing experience, I think, with this hosting platform. And we're going to keep an eye on what Mark is doing here and how Podient begins to grow, because this is like no other hosting that I've seen out there. Really, really clean. And it sounds like you have a huge imagination and some other features that are going to come down the pike that are going to excite us.
Well, thank you very much. I'm really, really excited by the possibilities, basically. And I want to focus on stability. I want to focus on making this the best it can be. There's improvements I want to make for making it even easier to upload content, or just making a few things just a little bit quicker to help guide new users through the content through the process. There's more work I can do there. And at the end of the day, that happens when people start using the platform. It gets better when people start feeding back. I've already had some really cool suggestions and people asking questions about how we can improve the stats, that kind of stuff. So people using the platform, that's why I'm happy. While we're in beta, anyone can use it, and there's no guilt, no issues, whatever, because you're helping me shape it. Once we get out of beta, then I might start emailing people saying, hey, if you do like the platform, then maybe consider coughing some money up. But for now, it gets better when people use it, and so that's the idea.
So he'll start grabbing people by the ankles, turning them upside down if you haven't started paying after the bit.
But nice. In a very friendly way, and in a completely optional way.
With a huge smile on his face as well. He'll be doing it. Mark Stedman, founder and creator of Podient.co. Thank you so much for joining us here on Pod to Pod today.
Thank you so much for having me.